This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and FMR in Cape Town.
The View from the Market is brought to you by the FNB Business 48-Hour Cash Accelerator. Get great rates and fast access. I've got Pietri Redlinghuis, founder of Herenia Capital Advisors, lover of smart birds and slayer of shibboleths in my Cape Town studio. Pietri, great to see you again.
Thank you very much for having me.
On the line, Wayne McCurry of FNB Wealth and Investments, the man who can see through political noise and slayer of pessimism. Wayne, good evening.
Hello.
Now, kick us off, Wayne. I want to talk about what's going on in the U.S. economy and U.S. markets. Something doesn't quite add up for me about the rally that we've seen over there. We're told that the world's largest economy is just experiencing some slowing, but overall things are solid and steady as she goes, or so the argument goes. But are they really? Because for the one thing that I've seen, the earnings outlook picture seems to be deteriorating rather quickly. We've seen the fourth quarter results roll in, and it looks like the S&P 500 is poised to post an average earnings growth rate of around 12.5%, according to FactSet. But it's the outlook statements that are concerning here, and they don't seem to be squaring up with this everything is cheery sort of narrative.
Look, we've had massive earnings percentage increases over the last while. And when you think about it, you know, let's call it a 2% inflationary environment, and let's say a 3% to 4% very optimistically GDP growth environment, you can't have double-digit earnings growth forever. You just cannot. So the earnings growth numbers must come down. And I think the market anticipates that earnings, for a number of reasons, tax cuts and a whole range of things, were elevated and were going to fall. They will still be positive. Now, the U.S. economy is slowing down because of effectively the higher cost of capital and higher interest rates, in my view. But we're lucky this time around. Normally, after such a massively long period of economic expansion, when interest rates go up, they really negatively affect the equity market. And the reason why this time around it's not so bad is that there's no underlying inflation problem. And that's the true key. So we're not going to get a major equity bull market in the continuation of the last 8 years, where the market just goes through the roof. But the chances of a major collapse in a rising interest rate environment have decreased quite significantly because there's no inflation in comparison to 2008 or 2002, etc. Whereas there you had inflation issues, whereas now there's no inflation issues.
It's the mystery of the missing inflation, Pietri.
Right. So, sort of just to add a little bit to what Wayne was saying, is that, you know, we've had this period from 2008, 2009 with, you know, economic collapse and all of that, which was then followed by quantitative easing, two programs of that, in fact. And then when that was sort of being tapered down, there was a lot of fears around what is this going to do. Can asset prices keep going up? That eventually tapered down, and they're now deleveraging the balance sheet. So at that point, markets got very, very jittery. But then, you know, enter Donald Trump and his corporate tax cut, which basically translates into higher earnings on the bottom line for companies, right? So now that this has been worked into the system, it's now been enough time for those corporate tax cuts, basically the tailwind that companies' earnings got from that corporate tax cut has now been absorbed. Mm. And now you're quite right. Where does the earnings growth come from? You're in a situation where companies are priced on future earnings. That's why people buy them. Or buy shares, right, for future cash flows from them. And these companies are priced really high, or the market in general is priced really high based on this expectation of continuously double-digit growth earnings. And this was made possible by quantitative easing. So you have a very low to zero interest rate. You can borrow money. You can grow your business. There was a massive increase in the jobs market and that kind of thing. And now we're at a point where they've got sort of 4% or thereabout unemployment, which is technically kind of full employment. Companies have the problem where they can't open on Mondays because there aren't enough people to work on Mondays, right? So if everybody's got a job, Wage growth, wage inflation, or wage growth inflation is not really there. So wages aren't increasing as much as what you know, the rest of the prices in the rest of the economy is going up. Where do you find more buyers for your products? And now we have this thing where we have forward earnings guidance that's significantly lower, and that to me is a potential risk to equity prices, because and I think Wayne is right. I don't think. You know, perhaps we don't see a collapse. We don't see a repeat of 2008. You know, we need some sort of a major catalyst for something like that to happen, because that's really just based on fear, right? But there's also no real logical reason for these companies to just keep trading up and keep trading up if their earnings growth just
aren't in place. I want to shift the conversation on to what's happening in commodity markets at the moment. We're here in Cape Town for the third day of the mining indaba, Wayne. And I must say the mood is markedly better than it was last year. The president's been very well received. It's very interesting to talk to the international investors and their view of where South Africa is versus the local view. The local view is far more pessimistic. People want action now. Yes, we saw Basasa and the Hawks sweeping on Agritzi and Linda MT and a few others today, and finally some action. But the international investors I've been speaking to have said, well, it's politics at the end of the day, and the change will take time, but they see a man who is not only just presidential in his oratory skills and his presence, but a true constitutionalist and someone who they certainly are buying into. And I found that quite interesting. But on the specifics here in the commodity sector of the iron ore price and the rand, I mean, the iron ore price has really run at the moment. And there's quite an interesting correlation here, because iron ore accounts for almost 13% of our total mining production. And if you look at it, it's we are top 10 iron ore producing country in the world. The rand is actually naturally correlated with the iron ore price, and we've seen a very strong iron ore price at the moment. Do you buy that?
Yeah. Look, the rand's correlated to the commodity cycle in general, of which iron ore is one of the commodities that we export. We all know why the iron ore price has gone up to these high levels, because of the dam collapse at Vale, and they've had to pull back 30 or 40 million tons of production, because they're inspecting all of their slimes dam and they're closing down the operations until they've had a good look at all of that. So the iron ore price is helping hugely. And of course, it's very positive that foreign investors trust our president and like what he says. We as South Africans tend to be a little bit more skeptical and a little bit more grumpy, and, you know, always try and not necessarily see the side and try and see the downside more. The mining commodity cycle looks fair. I don't think there's any particular problem. There's definitively no oversupply, because that little problem was put to bed a few years ago when all the mining companies almost went bankrupt. And it's looking quite good, actually.
It's amazing how at the top of the cycle all the analysts make projections out into the future based on that price growing at inflation plus at the top of the cycle, and everyone seemed to buy it at that stage.
Yeah, it's a long time,
to sort of, you know, I don't know, there's, you say that there's a correlation between the rand and the iron ore price, which is logical and it makes sense, right? But if we look at the way that the rand has been strengthening, it's really been the whole of January. The Vale incident only happened a couple of weeks ago. So there has to be more to the strengthening of the rand than just the iron ore price, right? And that is things like some sort of a conclusion or some good news coming from the trade war between the US and China, as well as the fact that the Fed was a lot more dovish and said that, you know, they've basically scrapped the idea of interest rate hikes going forward. Well, perhaps not scratched them, or, you know, but they've set a much lower expectation of how many interest rate hikes we're going to get.
Yeah.
And I think that stuff is all very positive emerging markets, because, you know, it's a sort of back to a risk-on situation. Then we see inflows into emerging markets. South Africa, as we know, has been one of the major underperformers over the last few years. And therefore, our rand has been one of the best-performing emerging market currencies on the back of sort of global macroeconomic things, not necessarily just at the feet of Vale. I mean, if you look today, the rand is 1% weaker versus both the pound and the dollar.
And Kumba Iron Ore down 1% today as well. Any ideas of why?
Well, I mean, it has run incredibly hard. At some point, it does sort of run out of momentum buying. But, you know, the iron ore price is up again this morning, or was up again this morning. And if it continues to go up, I think that there's still a bit of legs left in Kumba.
Yeah. Wayne, before I let you go, what would you like, what one thing would you like to see out of the State of the Nation address and the President's speech tomorrow?
Eskom.
That's it. Find a solution. Everyone's been talking about it, and we don't know what that solution is, but it clearly involves some kind of restructuring. I don't even buy the restructuring into three separate components of distribution, generation, and transmission. You've got to take generation and take that gorilla and split it up even further. Otherwise, you still have an 800-pound gorilla in the energy sector dictating terms.
Look, the most successful story of a turnaround thus far is Telkom. It privatized, it turned itself around, it is a fantastic company, and the service delivery that I've had from it ever since then has been great.
Petri Redlinghuis, founder of Herenia Capital Advisors, and Wayne McCurry, portfolio manager at F&B Wealth and Investments, with your view from the market, brought to you by F&B Business 48-hour cash accelerator. Get great rates and fast access.
Brought to you by F&B Business. Our 48-hour cash accelerator investment account gives you great rates and quick access to your cash. F&B, how can we help you?